Hey, good morning, everybody. We are just so excited to gather with you here, also with you online, and to just be together to process thinking kingdom and God's word. So as we get started, let me give you this little thought to get going. You know how there's things in our life, in our day-to-day kind of living that we know are true? I mean, you could say it like this, that we know are good for us, or maybe not so good for us, and yet we don't do it or do it anyway. All right, maybe I'm the only one. No, I heard a yep. Good, thank you. Okay, I'll give you a couple examples. Water, all right? I know it's true, right, that water is good for me, that I should drink lots of water. And yet, I all too easily turn to other beverages that I love. I came in this morning, I had my double cup of coffee, and then someone brought me this Starbucks, and I was like, oh, perfect, more coffee, when I know water would be better. But as you can hear, gone, right? I know water's good for me, and yet I don't drink as much as I should. So I'm actually, you know, as a side note, I'm doing this little challenge with my brother right now. And for 75 days, we have to drink a gallon of water every day as a means to try and like reset our mind and reset our habits and kind of get into our system that water is good, drink more water. So I'm doing this challenge, right? Here's the thing about this challenge. Your eyes float. I mean, it's not almost, it's embarrassing. I mean, I go to the bathroom more than anybody else in the office. And I mean, Pastor Ashley, who's here, she's pregnant. And I go to the bathroom more than her because of this water challenge. But I'm trying to reset my mind. All right, drink more water. All right, I'll give you another one. I know that food in moderation is good. Too much, not so good. And yet I have this weakness. It's pizza. I love pizza. I was in youth ministry for almost 10 years, and they said to me that youth ministry would kind of like kill the love of pizza. Nah. I was like, this is just a side benefit of the job. I get free pizza all the time, right? Now I'm a lead pastor, and I don't get the free pizza, so I order pizza, I cook pizza, I eat pizza. And the problem is, when there's a pizza, I can't just eat one or two slices. Even though I know I should only eat one or two slices, I feel good when I only eat one or two slices, but I always finish the box. And I don't know what it is, I just can't say no, right? There's those things that we know are good or we know aren't good. Okay, I'll give you a last one real quick, I won't dwell on it long. Debt. I mean, we all know debt makes a slave to the lender, and yet I, like probably some of you, have some debt, right? I know, but slave to the lender, right? So this is like what I'm talking about. We know there's things that are true, that are good, and yet sometimes we don't kind of follow through. Today's message, where we're headed as we think kingdom, as we look to become a more kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused people, is really just that. It's not just the starting point. It's like the key, the linchpin, if you will, of what it means to be a people, a gathering of God's called out ones who think kingdom. And to get to it, I got to take us actually to our mission statement. Now, I know some people aren't into like mission statements or vision statements or values and all that kind of stuff, but I love this kind of stuff. It's just something I just really enjoy. And here's the thing about a mission statement. A mission statement really tells you who you are and what you're about. And if you're in business at all, whatever that business may be, or in another organization, whatever that other organization may be, you want to know what your mission is. Who are you and what are you about? I personally feel that for the church, if that's important there, it's like infinitely more important for us. Because if we don't understand who we are and what we're about, what's the point? And so this stuff is super important to me. And our mission statement in two words holds not only the starting point, but the key, the linchpin of what it means to be a people who think kingdom. I'm so convinced of these two words that I actually have Pastor Ashley speaking next Sunday on these exact two words, because I want you to hear her perspective on these two words as well, because I think the other another perspective, the more we consider this, the better it is going to be for us to be a people who think kingdom. Anyways, the two words are love God. Simple. I know it's true. I know it's good. And in fact, it's really simple. And yet, as I mentioned to those of you who kind of follow along on Facebook, I found myself like reflecting on how as true and as good and as simple as this, in my own fleshly way, I all too easily get sideswiped or off track. But it doesn't change the fact that this is true, this is good, this is the key, this is the linchpin to what it means to be a people who think kingdom. And so I want to just focus on these two words. And these two words for many of you, and probably even you online, like they are not going to be new thoughts, but we need to re-wrestle through them because it matters ever so deeply. And it's important to self-evaluate. It's important to look into my own life and see where am I at and how am I doing. Because if I want to be a kingdom-minded, thinking kingdom leader, thinking kingdom participating in Jesus' work, I got to have these at the forefront. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at those two words. And to do so, we're going to go to the book of Mark. And so I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to read for you verses 28 to 34. You're free to follow along if you like. And then we're going to just break it down a little bit, okay? So here it is from the very mouth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Reads like this. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength and to love my neighbors as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far off from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared ask him any questions. I love that Jesus in this passage is in the midst of a debate, and on the heels of the debate, a religious leader comes in and asks him, what's the most important commandment? And to this, Jesus actually goes back to the book of Deuteronomy and quotes these words that are a couple thousand, you know, maybe 1,500, a couple thousand years old, and says, the most important thing is that you understand you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And then this religious leader responds in a way that I think is so important for us. He says, that's right. In fact, that's even more important than all the rules, the laws, the regulations of the Old Testament. And Jesus says something to him that matters to us today. You were right. You're close to the kingdom of God. And as close as he was, we too need to delve into this and understand and consider what it means to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. So I want to break this down for us. Now, my personal opinion and experience, Jesus, from this text, which is actually taken from a much, much older text in the book of Deuteronomy, is actually like the original counselor. And I know some of you have been to counselors, some of you haven't, have different opinions. I think it's really good. It's important to have those things. I have counselors that I have gone to that I trust because I need that place to process. Jesus was the original. And he gives us like the key, if you will, to to understand what it means to taking care of our whole being, of our entire self. And it starts with loving God. And loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Now I'm going to quickly overview it, and then I'm going to break it down a bit more. Think of it like this, all our heart. With all our heart, we have this emotional part of our being that we are to love God with. Sometimes we think of emotions as a sign of weakness or not good. Emotions are from God. They are designed by God. They are part of being in the image of God, in fact. God's an emotional being. We're to love God with all our heart, the emotional part. With all our soul, we have in the soul the internal part of our being that knows more to life than just this, what we look and see. It's the spiritual part of our life. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with the entire spiritual part of your being. With all our mind. Our mind is that intellectual, reasoning, cognitive part of our being. He says, love God with this part of your being, the mental part of your being. Love God with all your strength. That's the physical part of our being. Jesus gives us like the introduction, like psychology 101 and understanding the whole being right here, doesn't he? You want to know the key to life? And for us as believers, the key to thinking kingdom? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our emotions, our mental part, our intellectual part, and our physical part. It's cool Jesus does that in this passage. So I want to break it down a little more. He says, love the God, Lord your God with all your heart. The word heart, in its original kind of Greek language as we have here, is defined like this. The heart is the seat and the center of human life. In the New Testament, it's used only figuratively. As the seat of the desires, the feelings, the affections, the passions, and the impulses. See, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your emotions. Like, put your passion into loving Jesus, into loving God. And the thing about this, as I'm going to repeat three more times, is when one of these parts of our life kind of goes off, interestingly enough, it starts to affect the other three. So when the emotional part of my being kind of starts to get off track, it starts to affect the soul, the spiritual part of my life. It starts to affect our mind, the mental part of my life. It starts to affect the strength, the physical part of my life. And so Jesus is saying, hey, look, narrow in on this. Like, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put your emotion into it. Now, I'm going to circle all the way back and end on this one because it serves as an application for me. So just hang on to side, knowing that I'm going to come back to it in just a little bit here. So next, he gets into the soul. Now, I'm going to read for you a little bit about the soul and what it has to say or how you would define it from its original word as well. This is the essence of life in terms of thinking, of willing. It's that inner self. Another place that this word is actually used is also in Philippians 1:27, and here we say that we are to have one purpose. That inner thought, if you will, struggling together for the faith of the gospel. Again, let me put it another way. The soul is the part of us that knows there's something more. There's got to be something more. One of my favorite passages from the Old Testament, particularly as I'm processing life with people who don't believe or don't have faith, especially those who probably would take a stance of a strong atheist, is this verse from the book of Ecclesiastes, or this verse from the book of Ecclesiastes. It says this, God has put eternity on the hearts of all humanity. Now, I don't know how many conversations you've personally had with someone who doesn't believe, but that verse gives me hope in the midst of those conversations because there is something deep within our DNA that knows there has to be something more, that soul part of us, if you will. And I've been in conversations with some of my friends who don't have faith or who would even be anti-God or atheistic in their thought process. And when we come to this thought, that's where you see the crack. You know, I've even seen debates, live debates, with intellectuals who are far, far more educated than me, where you see this debate between someone who's a renowned, notable atheist, someone who's a renowned, notable scholar or apologetic individual who kind of defends the faith. And when you get to this point, you see the crack. I've seen those debates where all of a sudden, ooh, something more. And what Jesus is saying is we need to come to that place where we recognize that there is something more, and we love God with every part of that part of our being. We love God with that. Love Him with our soul, that we recognize and turn to God as the one true living God, just as Jesus spoke of at the very beginning. Now, as a point of emphasis that matters here, as I've said again and again, you were created to walk with God. That was God's design all along. He wanted to journey with you. And it was never that God left us. It was that we walked away from Him as a result of our sinful ways. But God came after us by coming to earth as the form, in the form of a human being. Jesus came to earth as a human being and showed what it means to walk with God, and then ultimately would offer His life as a sacrifice for our sin. Now, if we come to Him and say, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Now, Jesus, here's my life. Take it. It's yours. We find ourselves moving back into that relationship we were created for. God wants to walk with you. Jesus wants to journey with you through life. As we come to Jesus, we find the beginning of what it means to put all our soul into loving God. And this is what He wants for every single one of you, for you as well. God wants us to love us with that part of our being that's designed, that knows there's something more, to put everything we have into following Him with that. And again, when one part of our life goes off, including the spiritual, it affects the others, the emotional, the mental, and the physical. And so for those of us who maybe already know what I've just said, remember that. When we start to push God away, even though we know He loves us, even though we know He longs relationship, when we push Him away, He doesn't walk away from us. He still stays there. He pursues us. We've heard the poems where we hear God carrying us. I've experienced that. I'm sure you have as well. But when we start to push Him away, He doesn't force us. He just kind of is there waiting to just embrace and walk back with you. And when we turn consciously from Him, and I mean consciously from Him in sin and in things that we know are not of God, it affects the other parts of us, doesn't it? So love God with all our soul, that part of us that knows He's real and longs to walk with us. The third one is mind. Heart, soul, and mind. And the word mind, if you kind of break that word down, here's some of the ways it's defined. It's our ability to think over something. It's our capacity to understand, to have intellect, to use thought, and to have a mind. This is that part of our being that is cognitive in our capacity to relate to life, but to ultimately to relate to God as well. One of my favorite passages of scripture at weddings is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know some people are like, oh, I've heard that one before, but I love that passage. It is so powerful. When you read the love passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you see that in every one of those things, love is not a feeling or emotion, it's actually a choice. That you consciously have to make a choice to love. And I think that's where our mind or our intellect comes in. We have to make a conscious choice that we will love God. Now, I know, and as I've already spoken to, that we are saved by faith. But I'm telling you, my faith has become all the stronger as I intellectually put time into understanding who Jesus is. And as I come to know the truth that he really is who he said he was, God in the flesh. As I come to know the evidence of his existence, his death, his burial, his resurrection, I'm all the more convinced of who God is and that Jesus is God. And intellectually, my mind is put into this position where I want to follow, I want to love. God's asking us to love him with all our mind. Now, the mind has another kind of piece to it that's really important. Our mind is powerful. It serves as a bit of a gateway to some of the other things, doesn't it? I mean, I already said when one thing is off, the other three go, right? So true for the mind. I got a really embarrassing story. Like, really embarrassing. You're going to think, this isn't Ken, but I'm telling you, this is a true story. This happened many years ago. You with me? This is a long time ago, okay? Janelle and I used to watch The Bachelor. Like, the first few seasons, we were faithful. So embarrassing. My pastor watched The Bachelor. It was many years ago, okay? If you've seen The Bachelor, you know what it's about, what happened. If you haven't, don't worry, you're not missing anything really. But we were like faithful Bachelor watchers. But you want to know something? It was doing something to our mind. And it wasn't just affecting me as a man, it was affecting her as a woman as well. And we could see that the things we were allowing into our mind were kind of coming out in our relationship. That's how powerful the mind is. The stuff that we allow in there has the power to have an effect on us and our relationships and the way we interact. This is what I'm talking about when I speak of the mind being significant. And thus, we had to make a conscious choice, like, enough of this garbage. We had to get rid of that stuff because it was, like, messing with our mind. And we were feeding self rather than feeding this desire to know God, to walk with him. So it's super important that we watch our mind and we guard what we put in there. And Jesus is saying here, love the Lord your God with all your mind. So what are we allowing into our mind? Because like I already said, when we put things into our mind, we allow things to enter our mind that are not of God, guess what? It affects our emotions. Right? It affects our soul. It could even affect our strength, our physical body. So Jesus is calling us to this place of loving God again with all of our being. And finally, we get to strength. Here's some of the words used to define strength. Strength, from its original Greek word, is the ability to have physical strength or an endowment about you. Some go so far as to say it can even mean health or to be healthy as opposed to be weak or to be sickly. So Jesus saying is everything that was within you physically and within your strength, that is to be used to love God. To give that part of your being, the physical part of your being, to him. I was at a funeral actually just the other day. It was for one of the older members of the fellowship here. And her grandson got up and said some really powerful words. I actually literally got like the Holy Spirit goosebumps as he was speaking and sharing a little bit of his relationship with his grandma. One of the things he said I think is important to bring out here as we talk about strength. He said that you don't have to be big to be strong. And that perfectly described his grandma. You don't have to be big to be strong. I'm not just talking about physical size here. I'm talking about the will to put what we have been given by God, our physical strength, into loving him. You know, there's this kind of subconscious thought within the Christian church where we think of worship as this when we gather and we corporately sing. And that is a part of worship, and there's value in that. It's important to do that. It's a good thing. But that is not solely what worship is. I've come to learn that worship is really my day-to-day life and how I live out my life to serve God and to worship Him. And when I put my strength, my physical being into something, I can worship God doing that. So are you using your physical body as a means to love God? Again, when we start finding ourselves using our body to do things that are not of God, it affects us. It even has the capacity, once again, to affect our heart, our emotions, our soul, the spiritual part of our being, our mind, the mental part of our being. You see the connection through all these. Jesus is the original counselor, and what he's saying is you are to love God with your whole being. Everything inside you, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Now, I kind of started telling you a little bit about how sometimes I know things that are true, that are good or simple, and yet I don't quite get it right. This has been so convicting for me and yet perfect in its timing. And I think God kind of giggles as preachers get messages ready and he kind of tweaks at their own heart. Literally in my case, my emotional part of my being, it says, ha-ha, right here, you're going to work on this. And so I want to share this not as a means to like ask for sympathy, or I don't even want to be whining. I'm just sharing because I just want to be honest about it. This season of COVID has been hard for me emotionally. I've not been the emotionally strong person that I want to be, especially at home. Being a leader in COVID is really hard, and I can feel it weighing on me. And God like brought this to the forefront as I was preparing. And showed me like these things where I could have been, oh yeah. I said, Ken, if you're going to be a man who thinks kingdom, remember, you got to love me with all your heart. Not just your soul and your mind and your strength. It was so convicting for me to have that brought to the front. And so as a fellowship who longs to be a fellowship who thinks kingdom, who is a kingdom-minded people, who is a people who look to be on mission for Jesus, and I know this about you. I know this about you. I want us to give God the freedom this morning to identify if there's anything within our heart or our soul or our mind or our strength that we just need to realign. Because we do live on this side of heaven, where we do struggle with our being. But Jesus is good and he's kind and he longs to come alongside and help us find healing and wholeness and freedom and forgiveness so that we can all the better love God. So I want to invite you to bow with me here at home. I'm going to pray. Father, we know that you first loved us. And you demonstrated that ultimately through giving of your son. So we just say we love you. Jesus, we know it's love that kept you on that cross. We thank you, and so we do say we love you. And Spirit, we know that you love us, for you pursue us day by day, and you look to lead us moment by moment. We thank you for this. We love you. Yet in this place, we recognize that we still do struggle with our own flesh, if you will, this side of heaven. And so we're thankful that Jesus, the original counselor, steps in and says, hey, look, you got to love God with you, all your being, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And so we take time right now to just look and reflect on our own life. And so Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to be present in this room, in this space with these people here. I want you to be invite you to be present in the homes of those watching. I just want to ask you, Spirit, as you've convicted me, is there anything you need to convict your people of right now where we just need to realign and once again declare it's our desire to love God with our whole being, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength? So Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to your people. God, you are good. You know these things that are brought to our attention, and you know that you're going to need to do some work in all of us. And so I pray that as we have brought these things to the light, that we would recognize in the light, in your light, there is no fear. And so I ask you to give us the courage to just process it, to bring it out, to pray through it further. Because we really do want to be a people who think kingdom. We really do want to be a kingdom-minded people who are on mission for you, who are serving the fort and reaching our region and our world. So this week, walk with us in a precious way as we learn to love you all the more with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.